This is a special edition of Macro Voices with hedge fund manager Eric Townsend, the premier financial podcast targeting professional finance, high net worth individuals, family offices, and other sophisticated investors. Now, for this special edition of Macro Voices, here's hedge fund manager Eric Townsend.
Macro Voices All-Stars episode number 8 was recorded on May 21st, 2019. I'm Eric Townsend. Our old friend Kevin Muir, both the macro tourist blogger as well as market strategist for East West Investment Management in Toronto, joins us as today's All-Star interview guest. Kevin prepared an excellent slide deck for us. Listeners, you'll find the download link on our homepage at macrovoices.com. Just look for the download link in the description of this article on the homepage at macrovoices.com. Kevin, I want to start by talking about the Fed and pricing in easing. The market pretty much thinks that it's time, any day now, any minute, the Fed is about to cut interest rates by 50 basis points or more. Could be tomorrow morning. Is that really happening, or is the market getting ahead of itself?
Well, it's great to be with you today, Eric. I can't believe how much the market has gotten ahead of itself. We've gone from a situation where October 2nd, 2018, Powell said we were a long way from neutral. And if we look at the euro-dollar future spread between June 2019 and June 2020, which basically kind of measures the amount of hiking or tightening in the next year, we'll see that at that point when he said that we were a long way from neutral, there was a full rate hike priced in, not a cut, a hike. But if we remember back to this point and we think about that long way from neutral, the Fed had kind of been pushing and pushing and the risk assets were flying and it didn't seem like anything could stop it. And Powell was leaning hard against it. And at that point, we had hit the tipping point where we finally realized that the Fed had hiked until they broke something. And what we can see, if we go look at this chart that I've included in the chart deck, you'll see that after that point, the S&P went from 2,900 down to 2,325, basically giving up almost 20% in the next few months. And it wasn't until we got to the infamous Christmas Eve massacre, where that one ugly day where stocks just went no bid and Trump was leaning hard and saying all sorts of things about how the Federal Reserve couldn't putt and all these things and all these negative kind of very incendiary comments, we saw a situation where Powell finally gave in and flipped. And this flip was greeted warmly by the markets. We saw the S&P rally for the next, for the next 4 or 5 months. We've been nothing but up since then. But what's interesting to note is that we go back to this chart where we kind of look at the future spread on the euro dollar on the June 2019 versus the June 2020. And we examine what the market has gone from. It's gone from pricing in one full rate hike at that infamous, you know, we're a long way from neutral comment, all the way down to the point where we're now pricing in almost two full cuts. And I think that that offers a tremendous opportunity because I think the market is so far ahead of where the Federal Reserve is. It's not even funny. Like if we go to this next chart, we'll see that the December 2019 contract, we've rallied from 96.70 on that euro dollar futures contract all the way up to 97.62. That's almost 100 basis points of easing that has happened in the euro dollar market, futures market. Meanwhile, the Fed has done nothing but basically kind of retreat from this hawkish rhetoric. And we've gone from pricing in all sorts of rate hikes to pricing in way too many cuts. And I think it's a huge opportunity for investors who believe that the economy is not nearly as kind of hinging on a precipice and that the economy might be a little stronger than people expect. You know, at this point, if the Fed does nothing, this euro-dollar futures contract is going to decay basically, you know, 25 basis points downward. So I think it's just a terrific short opportunity on the fixed income point of view.
So you're shorting fixed income or you're shorting the euro-dollar spread specifically to capture that change in market expectations?
You can do it a couple of different ways. And what I find interesting is the fact that recently at the Malden conference, there was 4 days of, you know, really sophisticated hedge fund managers presenting their views. And I wasn't there, but I pulled this great tweet from Tarek Saab. He's at Fiblines. And he says, the big takeaway, the entire 4 day lineup was long bonds of various duration. And this is something that I see when I'm going through my Twitter feed, when I'm talking to different investors. The market is leaning so heavily long bonds that it seems to me that it is a great contrarian play. Whether it's at the short end or even the long end, I think that it's just something that should be faded. And that if we don't get a situation where the economy doesn't roll over like the Rosenbergs and all of these other people believe, then what's going to happen is that the fixed income is going to be a huge disappointment for them. You know, there's no bad investments. There's just bad prices. And when I look at the prices for the fixed income, it just seems to be that it's setting up from a risk-reward perspective that it's not something that you want to be erring on the long side. Even if the economy rolls over, we could have a situation where the actual return from your fixed income investment still proves negative because it won't be rolling over quickly enough for what the market expects. And one of the most interesting things that I see out there in the market is the skew in the euro dollar futures options. Now, we all know about the skew that happens in the S&P 500, you know, the crooked smile where the out of the money puts are trading with huge implied volatilities because everyone's trying to hedge against a collapse in stock market if there's some sort of problem. You know, we always say that the stock market goes up the staircase and down an elevator. So the opposite is occurring right now in the euro dollar market. We're seeing a situation where the out of the money calls are trading with huge implied volatilities. And if you go to the chart that I provided, you'll see that the implied volatilities for the December contract and at the money is trading a 23 vol bid. But as you go out and you go out to 98, 98 and a quarter, and you go upwards, you'll see that it's all the way up to 40 vol bid. So the market is bidding for protection against the Fed lowering rates. Because don't forget, the euro dollar future is 100 minus the interest rate. So if we get a situation where the Fed cuts rates, we're going to see the euro dollar future rally. So I think there's a tremendous opportunity there in terms of creating a position where you're selling those kind of out of the money calls and buying puts, because the puts are being given away because nobody expects the Federal Reserve to hike rates. And I'll go back to Scott Minard from Guggenheim. He's of the belief that the next Fed move is not going to be a cut, but it will instead be a raise. And although I'm not smart enough to predict that, I do believe that the skew in the euro dollar futures market has already priced that in. And if anything, you should be going the other way.
So, Kevin, where is the opportunity here? You're describing some imbalances in pricing. Presumably, that means something is mispriced, and that usually leads to opportunity. Where is it here?
Well, I look at fixed income volatility, and it seems dirt cheap to me. And in fact, if you pull up the chart of the MOVE Index, which is the Merrill Lynch Fixed Income Volatility Index, kind of like the VIX for bonds, you'll see that in March, it ticked at an all-time low. That isn't just, you know, like a low for this move. It was an all-time low. And so I look at that and I think that the bond market is pricing in a very subdued kind of movements over the next little while. And meanwhile, the stock market, based upon all of the Chinese kind of trade, dispute news, is gotten very much more elevated. And you'll see, whereas the bond index is ticking at new lows, the S&P has recently rallied. You know, the S&P volatility index, the VIX, has rallied from 12 up to 20. And what's interesting is when you look at a chart of the 3-month at-the-money implied volatility, and I've done the chart here of the U.S. long bond future versus the S&P 500 future, you'll see if you do a regression analysis that the volatility for the bonds is ticking at the lows. But meanwhile, the S&P is ticking much, much higher. So that means that relative to one another, bond volatility is as cheap as it's ever been. So if you believe that financial assets are somewhat correlated and that one, if one gets more volatile, the other should get more volatile, then we should have a great trade here where you can sell S&P volatility and buy the dirt cheap fixed income volatility. Whether you want to do that in the euro dollar market or the 10-year or the long bond, I'm kind of indifferent. I just think on the whole, the market is pricing in fixed income volatility way, way too cheap versus the equity volatility.
Kevin, let's bring this back to a subject that's on a lot of listeners' minds this week, which is the China-U.S. trade negotiations. Now, a lot of people think, hey, this doesn't look too good. Maybe it's time to be shorting the S&P here, expecting things to really fall apart. Is that the right move?
Well, you know, Eric, that gives me a lot of pause, and I'll tell you why. Because everyone is on that side of the boat again, and it's almost the same as the bonds. A lot of the professional traders are long bonds expecting the economy to roll over. And on the same basis, they're short stocks or they're not as long as they have been because they're also expecting the Chinese-U.S. trade war to intensify from here. But what I think is interesting is the fact that if we go back here to the last week's trading, we're taping this on Tuesday morning, but really it was two weekends ago that the talks broke down and the S&P had rallied going into that Friday, closing at 28.90. And then we got the news that it wasn't going to be, there was going to be no trade deal. And they gapped down, opening at 28.30 and then ticking on the low of the day at 2800. But since then, we've just been rallying up 50, 60 points. But meanwhile, the trade news keeps getting worse and worse. We're taping this Tuesday, and it just seems to be that every time we wake up, there's another kind of escalation in the developments with either China or the U.S. imposing more and more kind of tariffs or penalties on each other. Yet the S&P is going higher and higher, kind of impervious to the news. Now, maybe I'm just not getting it, and it's going to be one of those situations where all of a sudden the market's going to figure it out, and we're going to gap down 200 points, and it's going to be really ugly. And, you know, it's just a matter of it was just kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. But a little part of me just wonders if everyone is getting too excited about the trade news. And I think one of the reasons they might be confusing or getting too bearish based upon the trade developments is because we go back to the November-December period of last year when we had two different developments pushing the market down. One of them was the problems with Trump creating all sorts of rhetoric on the trade front. But at the same time, we had Powell not acknowledging the increased problems in the global economy and maintaining his hawkish stance. And at the time, a lot of market pundits were kind of blaming that decline on Trump's trade war escalation. I contend that it had more to do with Powell than it did with the trade war. And when we got this recent trade war, let's just say bad news, I said, we're going to find out now whether the last winter's decline in the stock market was more China or more Powell. And I contend that what we're seeing right now is that the proof that it was more about Powell's kind of hawkish monetary stance than it had to do with the actual trade war. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think that the trade war is going to get better. I don't think you should buy stocks because that there's going to be some sort of magical trade deal announcement next week. But I just wonder if that's really a reason to sell stocks. And if you are bearish on kind of trade developments, I think there's much better trades out there. And the first one that I would kind of highlight is selling Apple versus buying the S&P. Apple to me seems to be the poster child of Chinese kind of integration. Not only that, we're going to get a situation where when the Chinese decide on something to retaliate against, this is an obvious, easy one to retaliate against. So I look at Apple and to me, it seems very vulnerable. And when I look at the performance, we've had a rally ever since January where Apple's outperformed the S&P 500. But over the last 2 weeks, it's dramatically underperformed. And I think that's only going to get worse. So that's the first trade that I think you could do if you think that the trade war is going to get worse. The next trade is the Australian dollar Canadian cross rate. Now, who is Australia's largest trading partner? It's China. Who is Canada's largest trading partner? It's the United States. To me, this is one of the most pure ways to play the fact that the American economy is going to go out and outperform the Chinese economy. Now, you might ask, why don't you go and short the renminbi or just short the Australian dollar outright? I have a couple of problems with just shorting the renminbi. It ends up being a political trade. You're not really sure. It's not moving based upon actual economics. It's moving on political kind of positioning between two different superpowers. So that, to me, that's out. And then in terms of just shorting the Australian dollar outright, I kind of look at that and say to myself, I like taking out the reserve currency status problems. I like seeing the fact that if I can go and trade the Australian dollar against another resource economy like Canada, then it's a much cleaner trade. And not only that, I'm actually quite bullish on oil. And I think that, again, Canada will outperform based upon oil's potential outperforming in the future. And one thing, last thing I'll leave you with, Eric, is that everyone's worried about the Chinese trade war. And although it's not something that should just be dismissed lightly, I contend that it's more than fully in the price of all financial markets. But if I was looking for something to surprise markets, I would say it's a real war or escalation of kind of geopolitical tensions in the Mideast. I'm very concerned about the possibility that the Iran situation gets worse and that something happens in Saudi Arabia. So to me, if you were looking to hedge your portfolio, instead of going out and buying S&P puts, I think I'd almost rather buy out-of-the-money crude oil calls.
Kevin, we're going to have to leave it there in the interest of time. Before we let you go, please tell our listeners both where they can find the Macro Tourist blog, as well as how they can find out more about what you do at East West Investments.
Well, thanks, Eric. It's been great being with you today. If you want to follow me on the Macro Tourist blog, it's themacrotourist.com. It used to be daily, but it's gotten a lot less frequent lately, but blog where I discuss different thoughts I have on the macro side. In terms of work, you can reach me at eastwestfunds.com. And finally, on Twitter, I'm at Kevin Muir. Thanks again.
Listeners, we've got a whole bunch of fantastic guests coming up on All Stars as well as the rest of our programming, so stay tuned to your Macro Voices feed in coming weeks. For Macro Voices, I'm Eric Townsend.
That concludes this edition of Macro Voices. Be sure to tune in each week to hear feature interviews with the brightest minds in finance and macroeconomics. Please register your free account at macrovoices.com. Once registered, you'll receive our free weekly Research Roundup email containing links to supporting documents from our featured guests and the very best free financial content our volunteer research team could find on the internet each week. You'll also gain access to our free research library. And the more registered users we have, the more we'll be able to recruit high-profile feature interview guests for future programs. So please register your free account today at macrovoices.com if you haven't already. You can subscribe to Macro Voices on iTunes to have Macro Voices automatically delivered to your mobile device each week free of charge. Macro Voices is presented for informational and entertainment purposes only. The information presented on Macro Voices should not be construed as investment advice. Always consult a licensed investment professional before making investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed on Macro Voices are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of the show's hosts or sponsors. Macro Voices, its producers, sponsors, and hosts, Eric Townsend, shall not be liable for losses resulting from investment decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on Macro Voices.